Because if you know anything about sheep, they are really dumb.
Look at George. He's going another way. Good, let's follow him. And they just...
And then when he goes over the ledge,
well, maybe Betty has it. Let's follow Betty. Betty, do you know where you're going?
No,
neither do we. Let's follow Betty.
And it's just, they're crazy like that. I don't know much about sheep, but I do know this one thing for certain. Here it is. Sheep need a shepherd.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We've all heard the story a million times, how Jesus came to earth, was born in a manger. It was all part of God's plan for mankind. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to tell us why he came, more importantly, why he needed to come. Without him, we'd find ourselves going over the cliff with the rest of the sheep. In a moment, a message entitled, Why Did Jesus Come to Earth? But we have a few extra minutes today, so let's enjoy a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
Praise thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
Sing it.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning, new mercies I
titled, Why Did Jesus Come to Earth?
Did you know that the Bible likens us to sheep? Of all the animals in creation, the Bible likens us to sheep. Have you noticed that? Old Testament, New Testament, sheep, sheep, sheep. I don't know about you, but if I had my way, I would have at least said, God, at least a German shepherd, you know? I mean, a horse or an eagle, even a minor bird, but not sheep. Because if you know anything about sheep, sheep 101, they are really dumb. They are really, really dumb. They don't walk, they don't run, they boing. You notice that? They just boing, boing, boing. And they're so dumb, they'll be going one way, and they'll see someone turning right, you know, and they'll be boing, boing, and, ooh, look at George. He's going another way. George, do you know where you're going? No. Good, let's follow him. They just... And then when he goes over the ledge, well, maybe Betty has it. Let's follow Betty. Betty, do you know where you're going? No, neither do we. Let's follow Betty. And it's just, they're crazy like that. I don't know much about sheep, but I do know this one thing for certain. Here it is. Sheep need a shepherd. For their well-being. If not, they'd be extinct today. Because they're animals not who are predators, but are prey. So they are actually food for predators. And they would be basically extinct today because they're way too small, not fast enough. They can't run. They boing. And they would be wiped out by the predators if it weren't for shepherds all throughout the centuries. Isn't that right? And they cultivate, they guide, they help navigate the sheep to better pastures. They need a shepherd. And then I thought, that's why. That's why you call us sheep, isn't it, Lord? Because we are just like sheep. And Jesus came to be the shepherd of the sheep, to lead us into greener pastures. Otherwise, we would be following all of these knuckleheads all over the place and going over the edges. And God is saying, no, follow me. Isn't that what he said to his disciples? Follow me. That's it. So I know why Jesus came. And we find that even back in Isaiah 53. Let's read it up on the board. Hundreds of years prior, God knew that he would send a shepherd who would actually lay down his life for his sheep. And here we find this prophesied. Would you read it with me? Go. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. Yeah, in Mark 6, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds on the hill, it says, and Jesus saw the crowds, and he felt compassion for them, for they were like lost sheep without a shepherd. So you'll see it again and again. The reason why Jesus came was for us, to provide for us, to lead us and to guide us. Otherwise, we would be in trouble. However, the real question is not, why is God here? I think the real question is, why are we here? I mean, God doesn't just create at random. God handpicks, and his timing is impeccable. Because you could have been a wasn't, isn't that right? Yeah, I love that old poem by that theologian, Dr. Seuss. And Dr. Seuss says it this way. You want to hear this cool poem? I say it a lot. Too bad, you can hear it again. And it goes like this. If you'd never been born, what would you be? You could have been a rock or a toad or a tree. Or worse than all of that, you could have been a wasn't. Now, a wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't isn't present, but you are here. Now, isn't that pleasant? Today you are you, and it's truer than true that there's no one alive that is youer than you. Shout out loud, I'm glad of who I am. Thank God I'm not a rock, a clam, or a ham, or a dusty old jar of gooseberry jam. I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be, if I should say so myself. Happy birthday to me. See, God created you. He chose you. You could have been a non-entity, never conceived, never remembered, never missed, never ever thought of. But God so loved you that he created you. And the person that's inside the skin of yours looking this way, this is you. This is your run. You have no other run. I don't care what Shirley MacLaine says. This is your run. You got one chance. The scripture says it's appointed for man to die once and then cometh the judgment. This is it. So then why are we here? See, the question isn't why is God here? Because God has always been here. Isn't that right? He was before time was measured. See, we measure time with man's standards, with a stopwatch or a calendar. We implement man's measuring system. We go down to Home Depot and buy a measuring tape and we measure God. We have our own measuring system. God knew that, so he started time. But he was before time was even thought of, because he's eternal from the beginning to the end. That's it. And he's omnipresent, but yet he's one God. He said, oh, wait a minute. If he's like one, yet he's everywhere, then he has to be like a vapor or air or something. Oh, no, God is our Father. Well, how can that be? You see, often we try to measure or understand God with our own capabilities and our own tools, and it just messes things up. We come to the wrong conclusions every time. Now, this may not be exactly correct, but let me give you the idea of this. How God can be everywhere and create like he does, and we get it all wrong. Well, let's just remember this. In 1 John 1:5, it says this, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So God is what?
Light.
God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. In fact, not only is he light, he created light. In the beginning, when it was formless and void, God spoke and said, let there be. Where did that light come from? Emanated from him. God is light. So basically his presence invades the darkness and the confusion and brings order. So a part of his character now is being imparted, so that nurturing, so that we can have life happening and it germinates life. So he imparts himself and life is the result. But it comes with light. So if he created light, and he is light, now work with me here, all you mathematicians. If God is light, then he probably works at the speed of at least light. Not miles per hour. See, that's our standard. God works at least at the speed of light. Now, light goes 186,000 miles per second. In miles per hour, that's about 670 million miles an hour. It's beyond our brains, you see. So go back to the per second. 186,000 miles per second. Watch this. Got that time? Just... when I snap, light went around the world, circumnavigated the globe 7.5 times. That fast. Now, if God moves at the speed of light, probably because he created light, he probably works at uber light speed. So let's say just a little bump, 10 times. So he just went around the world, circumnavigated it 75 times. Now, what if he works at 100 times speed of light? Can you understand that he's everywhere, yet he's one person? Because he doesn't move on our standards. See, we try to measure God by going to Home Depot, buying a measuring tape, and measuring God with a Home Depot tape. And we say, oh, God couldn't create like that. We get our iPhones out. Okay, go. No way could he do that, because that couldn't happen. You see, if he's moving at uber light speed, what we would take a year to do, he can do it in a fraction of a millisecond. Because he's so different. The Bible says, my ways are so far above yours. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. My thoughts above yours. But we're trying to measure God with man's hourglasses, stopwatches, measuring tapes. And when we come to a very scientific conclusion, it's so wrong. And we think, no, we've measured him. No. You don't understand God. He doesn't fit in our box. He can't be measured with our measuring standards. And if God works at uber light speed, then what he can accomplish in a minute would take us a million years. You understand? Because he's just done. So that's why when scientists say, oh, God couldn't have created the world in 6 days, according to your speed, he could not do it if God were man. Because what we try to do is reduce God to man, and then we disprove him. Well, he's not man. So when scientists say, you know, it really took about 3 billion years for this to come about. I say, well, absolutely. What? I thought you were a Christian. Yes. Well, the Bible says 6 days. Uh-huh. At God's speed, it's 6 days. But he travels at maybe 100 times the speed of light. So what he does in 6 days, it's going to take us about 3 billion years. So with our measuring standard, it's 3 billion years. God, it's about 6 days. You know, one day when we stand before God, he's going to run the videotape and all of our eyeballs are going to go, dude, wow. Because we were so wrong. That's why the scripture says, in the end, God will be proved true and all men a liar. In the end. That's why, here's a little tip. Take the Bible for what it says. We don't understand it yet. But don't dumb it down and then disprove it. Just take it and say, I don't understand it, but if it says it, I believe it. Because it may be our 6 days, but within a day, God could create planets if he moves at a whole different speed than we do. God is light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. So we have to understand that. So God has always been here, all right? Everybody got that? He's omnipresent, yet one God. All right. So the question is, what are we doing here? What are you doing here? Well, I know that God, because he does nothing at random, he has a purpose for you and an assignment for you and a plan for you. How many of you believe that? Yeah, he has to. Otherwise, you're here existing, taking up space and eating somebody else's food. That's pretty useless. But instead, because he made us in his image, he has a plan that we would reflect his glory as we position ourselves to refract or reflect his light. So that's where we get to walk with, grow in character, posture our hearts, scrub our hearts, change the way we think. What are we doing? We're matching up to God so that not us, but his glory shines through us. That's it. And once that happens, the whole earth will be filled with his glory, Chronicles says. As I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. How? By the church, the bride of Christ, posturing, positioning, learning how to be a people who stand as ambassadors for Christ, as men of God, as women of God, and the light of God refracts right to the world. And they need to see him, not us. But we are important to the plan of God. See, God has a purpose for us and a timing for us. Did you know that you could have been born back in 1099 if he wanted you to have been born back then, been a part of the Crusades? Maybe if he wanted you to have been born, you could have been born back in the 1500s during the Reformation. Or he could have had you born in the 1800s. But for some reason, he had us born and living in this era. Think there's a purpose for that? You better believe it. And you could have been living right now in Pakistan or in the middle of the Sahara Desert or Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria. But for some reason, God not only had you born during this era, but he has you living in Hawaii. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, are you glad for that? All right, so his timing is impeccable. Why? Because he has a plan and a purpose and an assignment. And you don't want to miss that. It's our duty, our responsibility to find out why we're here. Now, God is so good that he is a shepherd, so he comes to guide us, to resource us, to lead us. And that's why it's important for us to see him and follow him every day. Otherwise, we're so quick to get lost like sheep, we have gone astray. But God makes no mistake in his timing. Let's read what it says here in Acts 17:26. Now, pretty soon we won't have it up on the board. You know what we're doing? I've edited a Bible called the Life Connect Bible. In it is some soap samples and some pages to write notes in. And on every page, there's a broad column on each side to write notes in. And it comes with an app. So if you want to hear intros or different devotions, it has a reading plan in there so you can do devotions in it. And the coolest thing is we will have these Bibles here so we can say, let's turn to Isaiah. And if you say, well, where's that? We can say page 753. So you just turn, because everyone will have the same Bible. And you can actually take sermon notes in your Bible. It's designed for that. Now, why do I want you to write in your Bible what God's saying to you and how He touches your heart? And there's a place for what we call defining moments, when God has done a miracle in your life, done something in your heart that you never, ever want to forget. There's a place to write all of that. Now, why? Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because one day, whether you're 13 or you're 93, when you're done with that Bible, you put it in your library. Because you don't want to just toss that. It's filled with your notes and experiences and appointments with God. And then you just fast forward the clock. One day your grandson, a great-granddaughter, great-great, will be going through your stuff and they'll open that up. And in their hands, they will see in your handwriting what your faith meant to you and how God worked in your life. I tell you, that is absolutely precious. There's a power in that. Something on the typed word is okay, but when it's in a handwritten sentence of what God had said to you or done in your life, that is so powerful and precious. For example, you can get the Declaration of Independence off the internet, and you can get that typed out. But try to get the original one where everyone signed with their own ink. That thing is priceless. You can never buy that. You can get print on a page, but when you, mom, dad, son, daughter, become great, great, greats, and when they turn in there and see your handwriting and what God said to you, this becomes manna from heaven, a testimony that impacts young men and women's lives. So that'll be coming out, so we're very excited about that. But for now, let's read what it says here on the screen. Would you read it? Go. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the very places where they should live. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him, though he is not far from each of us. You know what he's saying? I'm going to put you in the exact place and the time where I want you to be and to live. And I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to guide you and lead you, and I'm going to sprinkle the earth with you so that you glisten and refract the light of God on this earth. And there's going to be people in the pukas, in the sidelines here, in between, and they're going to be searching for God. And if you will be the people that I've called you to be, God's not going to be far from anybody, because all they have to do is turn to one of you and say, you know, God has been doing this in my life. What does it mean? And if we are that people of God, God will prompt somebody's heart. They'll reach out for God, and all they got to do is turn, and you're in the cubicle next to them. But we don't want to shroud our relationship with God. Neither do we want to be belligerent about it, but we want to live it out loud in such a way that when someone has a question, because God's prompting their heart, God did it on purpose. He prompted that person's heart knowing that you're in the next cubicle. We got it. He depends on us. That's His plan, you see. And as we're living lives of righteousness and integrity, there is something of authenticity when that person asks, what's this thing about God? And you can tell them without shame. God's plan is so precious. His timing is impeccable. Now, you can fight with the placement of God. Why did He put me in this family? I hate this family. My son Aaron thought that once. He came to me and said, why did God make me a pastor's kid? Now I can't do anything. I said to him, Aaron, of all the families in this world God could have put you in, He could have put you in any family, but for some reason, the wisdom of God said, I know, Aaron, I knew you before you were born, I know your future, I know your legacy, and the best place for you to be raised is in that family right there. Now you can fight with that placement, or you can be grateful for it. You can refuse God's timing, or you can accept God's timing. You can reject God's placement, or you can find out why He placed you there. You can be frustrated with God's timing and placement, or you can be faithful. And that one decision will make all the difference in the world. Can I give you a tip? With God's timing and God's placement, don't reject it. Instead, be grateful.
You have just heard a message entitled, Why Did Jesus Come to Earth? By Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.